Good morning, Bridgeway.
I am super excited about being here. I've been here on and off, I guess, for the past 3.5 years or so, and I am just grateful for the spirit that's in this house. When I came in on Friday, I came here, and I hovered here for a little while, and I sensed his presence, and then I came back yesterday and spoke with Joel for a little while back there, and I sensed his presence then. And I looked over at Tina, and she was over there speaking in tongues, talking to the Lord. And then now this morning, I really sense him here. And he has affirmed over and over the assignment that I have this morning for you all, that which has been given to me. If I could, I'd just certainly like to acknowledge my wife, Tina. You all remember her. Tina, wave at us, if you will, for a second. And my daughters, Sierra and Caress. And then I have friends here, really like family here, the Harrisons, Earl and BB. They, you know, when you spend 5 years with somebody in Germany and then you come here and then you have the nerve to live with them for 4 months until you get your house, more like family. And so the Harrisons, good friends of mine. And then Tina's sister is here. I don't see Teresa. Is she here? She was here earlier. Teresa Gaines, she's here anyway. It's good to see her again. 8 years ago, something happened to me, much like, I guess, the best way that I've been describing it over the years is the Matrix trilogy, how that in the first Matrix, when Neo had an opportunity to take the one pill and go home and go to sleep and forget everything that happened, or either take the blue pill, I believe it was, and follow the rabbit trail and see how deep it went. And he was in a search for something more. He knew that there was more that existed outside of the world that he lived in. Stacy, good to see you. He knew that if something existed more outside of the world that he lived in. And for me, as a Christian, I realized that there was more than just going to church. In a very sudden way, after I had been a Christian for 10 years, I literally got unplugged. I got unplugged from the routine. I got unplugged from the religion. And God came in, and he spoke. And for the first time, I heard his voice. And ever since then, I've been in pursuit of what I've heard, and I've been in pursuit of where he is. And it manifested through a series of dreams that really kind of shaped my life, began to set up a place in my own house where I meet with God. And I believe that every Christian, this is what we ought to do. We call them altars. It's where we set up a meeting place to meet with the God we say we love, with the God that we serve. We don't wait for a weekly meeting, Lance, to come out, but we do it on a daily basis. We draw close to him. And when I started doing that, he started coming to me in dreams, and he started speaking expressly to me about what my life consists of, what it means, the purposes, the plans. And I mean, literally, waking from my sleep and having a plan laid out for something perhaps I prayed about, and I would begin to journalize all of these things. To give you an idea, last year I had over 297 dreams where God would speak to me, and I would journalize all of them. And it really perplexed me at first, Lance, because I'm thinking now, you know, is this a dream, or did I have too much spaghetti last night, or what? Is it God or what? And then the more clearer the dreams became, they became answers to what I was thirsting for. They became direction for my path. And it's really, as believers, what we look for is what we say we need, is what we say we want God to give us. And so that happened 8 years ago, that I began to pursue him that way. He began to talk back to me. And then 2 years after that is when I realized, and kind of what I want to talk to you about today is when I realized that even though we were in relationship and communicating one with another, it really wasn't about what I wanted, but it was about what he wanted. And he broke me is what he did. There was a dream he showed me. I was in a field with a sickle saw, and I'm swinging this blade left and right. And on my left were those who I served with, and I was cutting their legs. I was cutting legs over here, and I was accomplishing the task, and I was getting the work done. But people were bleeding on my left and on my right. And when I came out of that dream, in me instantly was a measure of brokenness that I can't describe. All I know is that all of us need to experience it with him, where our life is not our own anymore, but it belongs to God, and that he orders your steps, and that all that you do should be predicated on what he's saying and what he's up to. And so this morning, I have a few things to say. I have a delivery to make, and I pray that you can look beyond any of the mistakes that I'll probably make and hear the word of the Lord. There was actually a story of a bird I wanted to tell you, but I think I may wait to the end and tell you about that. It's supposed to loosen me up, but I'm already feeling pretty loose this morning anyway. And so basically the impression that God put upon my heart as I was preparing for another message, and I can talk to you about that all day, about how God launched me out of here. In fact, I guess the rest of the story is that once God began to break me, he then caused me to leave Germany and come to Oklahoma City, where from March to August, I pursued a place where he was being glorified, where he was being magnified. And as we were going out on another Sunday morning search for a new church or a new place to find him, we were about to turn into the parking lot of one church, and Tina shook me and she said, "No, wait." And so I kept straight, and she said she had a dream last night that the Lord spoke a word to her, and the word was, "Bridgeway is great. They honor me there." And when she said that, we had remembered this building, Bridgeway. We had been seeing it and riding right by it, you know. And we came here, and we sat back here in this corner. And right then, the Lord began to speak very succinctly. Right away almost. I mean, we came in, we said it was the little pre-service things going on. And then when the lights went out, which is the way that we began to worship God at home over 2 years ago, the lights, we would drop the lights to where it would be less of us, more of him. And when the lights went out in worship, instantly we knew that this was the place. And what God was ultimately doing was showing us an example of what it looks like to worship him in his house, how it seems and how it can be, as opposed to the routine of church, coming to church about the duties and the task, looking for people, looking for man to speak to me. No, I came to his house so he can speak to me. And when I came in, and as we came in here, literally the presence of the Lord sealed in our hearts much of what you all are about, the same vision, being intimacy or having intimacy with God. It's our first priority at Full Assurance of Faith in Germany as well, seeking the Lord's face to hear his voice via fervent worship and prayer. That's the second tenet. Community, doing life together. You all do life together around here? Yeah, same thing there. We have begun to go in and show them that there's a value in doing life together. And then finally, we have a mission to those who are saved, to those who don't know God, and we realize you can be saved and not know God, that you can be saved and never, ever hear the word of the Lord speak to you, meaning there's no real relationship. And that's kind of where I am this morning. And so, again, as I was preparing something else, he whispered this word in my heart, and I knew it was for Bridgeway, and then our connection began to happen as far as Eddie with the invite to come here. And in essence, really today, I want to talk to you about having a passion for what God wants. Being passionate about what God wants, taking the passion that you have for life and for things and for what you want and shifting that focus to really what God wants. And what I began to feel very strongly was a feeling of, not shame, but I was really kind of embarrassed that we serve the living God of the universe, but still, if you look into many of our lives, there's very little evidence that he lives. There's very little evidence that he exists. Yeah, we'll have a word here or a word there, but where's the relationship? Like Gideon said, where be the miracles my father told me about? You know, where are the things that are going on by him? Not by man, but by him. Not just a good preached word, but really by him manifesting. Tina and I took a ministry trip to India last year. The pastor came over to Germany. He came to the ministry. He heard the message, and he said, this is what was required to go over to India. And so he invited us over. So we spent 4 days there, Lance. And while we were there, really the very first thing we realized that in a nation of over billions of people and where they serve millions of different gods, that the only way that Jesus Christ has a chance over there, because see, the challenge is not like it is in the West to get people to even come to church or worship God. No, they don't mind worshiping. But see, they'll worship statues, they'll worship inanimate objects, and they won't really understand the real or the reality of God and the relationship with God. And so what happened is, even in the airport, they'll bow down and start worshiping. Well, so the problem wasn't that they didn't worship, it's just that they were worshiping the wrong things. Paul said, man, you worship what you don't even know what you're worshiping here, you know. And so as I spoke to this bishop, he was a bishop, and he was perplexed what to do, how it is. And he was trying to do church as most Western cultures do church, you know, have a church service, you know, A and B selection, you know, have someone come speak and then, you know, pray and go home. And what he was missing was the presence of God. You know, he was just trying to, you know, do church. And so we began to minister to him that his only way, the only thing that really I believe that will begin to win the hearts and mind of people who worship a dead God is to show them a living God, or to let God show up and show himself. And so through worship, we begin to, just talk to them about the only way we know to get God to come, and that's by worshiping him. That's by bowing down to him. And so even in a place like India, the revelation that I understand about that, it exists for us. How is it? What's the difference between us and the... what's the difference between living a life where God is manifested and then just living a life, per se, of religion or just going to church? What's the difference? What would be the earmark? And it's when God begins to show up. And so having a passion for what God wants. What is it that God wants from the beginning? What is it that he's required from the very beginning? It's relationship. It's not religion. It's relationship. Adam understood this. After Adam had sinned, the Bible says he heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day coming and saying, Adam, where art thou? Unlike some people believe, he didn't come just because Adam sinned. No, he was used to coming every day. It was relationship. There's another man in the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse. His name is Enoch. Enoch was, listen, he was so close with God. The Bible says that he walked with God until he was not. And I said, what do you mean he was not? And then the rest of the verse says, because God took him. You know, don't you want to have that kind of relationship that you're that close with God until God takes you, till he comes in and manifests himself. Same with Abraham, spent years serving idol gods, idolatry, the different types of worship, until he heard the voice of the Lord saying, leave my father's house, get out of my father's house. So what is it that God is after? He's after relationship. He's after you and I spending time with him. And the thing that I'm on a quest to do, the mission that God has given me, Tina, is to tell everybody, and you know this, hon, is to tell everybody that if you'll take time to meet with God, he wants to meet with you. If you really will come to him, forget about the pursuits of things and titles and positions and tasks and duties. Meet with God, because over in Luke, the 7th chapter, I think the 24th verse, it says there that Jesus is going to tell some of us who said, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And that perplexed me, because I don't want to be the one that he says I never knew. And then he says this, because you are a worker of iniquity. What is an iniquity worker? One who does something that's illegal. You do something that you want to do and not what God wants you to do. And so that puts me where I am this morning, having a passion for what God wants. What does he want? He wants relationship. This morning, I have an assignment for someone in here to tell you that God is missing his time with you. He's missing his relationship with you. Yes, you look the part, you speak the part, you have the proper vernacular, but what about him? He knows that he's missing from you. You're not taking time to spend time with him. And so very succinctly, he spoke this, and now I'm here to declare this with you. Tozer says, who is it that God speaks to? He speaks to the one who cares, Lance. He speaks to the one who cares about hearing, who cares about knowing, who is interested in him. That's who he's interested in. And so we're excited about him. And so when I begin to look at, okay, having a passion for what he wants, what does he want? He wants relationship. And then it took me immediately, how was relationship validated? How was it verified? And it's through communication. It's when God talks to you, Lance, you can pretty much be assured that you have relationship with him. For if he doesn't want to talk to you, then you need to double check if you have relationship with him. And all of us, we have to mark this down. We have to make sure that our relationship is not just some I go to Bridgeway relationship, that I go and I hear Lance or I hear one of the other pastors speak, and that's the extent of my relationship. God wants to know, what about you? What about you? When will you draw nigh? Or do you come in expecting only to hear what a man is saying to you? God is saying, are you come looking for me? And this is really my thirst and my quest, and this is what we're really after. The Bible says in the book of John, the 1st chapter, the 1st verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, the same was in the beginning with God, and without God wasn't anything made. And then it jumps down to the 14th verse. It says, and then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Son, of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word itself became flesh. But notice there was a relationship between God and the Word. And so the communication process, that which signifies that you are in relationship with God, I believe, is if there is communication from God. Not only is his word in you, but does he speak a word to you? You know, you can go to church and you can, you know, go to school and learn everything that has been said. But what is God saying? What, you know, what is he talking to you about? You know, when is the last time you heard his voice? And in the kingdom of God, there's too many of us, Ed. We're living and we're walking based off what we've learned, based off of education, but we're not really getting a revelation. Yeah. See, God wants us to seek after him until he's revealed, until his word becomes flesh in you, until you become literally what he's saying. Is there anybody hearing what I'm saying? And so the word becomes flesh. It dwells with us. He abides with us, Lance. He hangs with us. He stays with us. And this is, again, what I believe identifies our relationship. It's what really, as the word becomes in me, then God will begin to literally show me, talk to me, lead me, guide me, direct me. And this, I believe, is the witness that the world needs to see. They don't need to just come to a building and to a church and hear Lance preach. No, they need to come meet God. And this is what we tell them all the time over in Germany. This is really, really my challenge from the very beginning. When I got there, my predecessor, you know, bless his heart, you know, he did what he knew to do. And people really were coming after him. And the expectation was when I arrived that they switched their allegiance from him to me. That's how you determine if they were going to stay in the ministry. No, no. My thing was this. No, if you're going to lose your allegiance for him, then don't put it on me. No, put it on God. Touch God. You fall in love with God. I'm just a spiritual Cupid up here. You know, don't, you know, it's not about if you like me or not. I'm trying to match you up with him. Are you hearing this? I'm trying to get you in his face. And so we went through just a few years of that. And Jared, you were there, you know, just people wanting more from me. And listen, I didn't have anything for them. All I had was him. All I had was to show them him. I'm like a gatekeeper, man. And so they came in, and certainly now the climate of the community of believers there has changed some. And really, everyone is on a thirst and a quest not to just hear what God has said. This is the letter. This is the letters that were given by God. It was a spoken word, and then God inspired men to write it down. So what I'm saying is really biblical. God spoke first, and then men wrote it down later. And so the object was not to get the book of the Lord and have it take the place of the Lord of the book. See, the object is to stay in relationship, Stacy, for us, you and I, talking to him, meeting with him. This is just supposed to show us and lead us and guide us, you know, to those things which were done literally aforetime. But right now, you and I, we need and we must have a relationship with God where we hear what he's saying, not just what he said. Having a passion for God has to do literally with the relationship. And so it begins. If you want to have a passion for what God wants, it begins by having a passion for what God is saying, meaning that you have a passion to know what he's saying, Earl, or beyond what he's saying. It begins by, listen, having a passion for God, because if you don't want to meet with God, listen, don't talk to me. Hello. We have preachers. We have priests. We have people who claim to stand before you Sunday in and Sunday out, and they say they're speaking a, they call it sermon, but really it's a message they say that God has told them to tell you. And if that person, if I'm fully persuaded that that person is not meeting with God to bring me the word, then where is it coming from? Who told him to stand and tell you what he's telling you? You know, did he just plop the Bible open and find something to preach? No, if you won't meet with God, whoever you are, as a priest, as a preacher, then listen, I'm giving you permission. You don't have to listen to them, because their job, Lance, you know this, our job is to meet with the Father. If I'd rather spend much of my time at Walmart, most of my time, if I'd rather spend my time, listen, watch this, even with you, if I'd rather spend time with you than with God, somehow I've kind of disqualified myself really to hear from him, because this is what I'm supposed to be saying, what he's saying. Is that right? Amen. That's right. I'm supposed to be saying what he's saying. I'm supposed to speak what he speaks. And so as priest, which is really, if you look at it from a clergy type, a presbytery type focus or perspective, we're supposed to meet with God. That's one thing that's indicative about priest. Well, what if I told you that God considers you a priest? Peter, the second chapter, the fifth verse says, or the ninth verse says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Well, what's a royal priest? Well, if you put royalty with kingdom or a king or perhaps a monarchy, then you're talking about one who sets policies for his kingdom. So wherever you are, whether in your house, whether on your job, whether in your hobby time, wherever you are, literally you have the ability to set policy in terms of how you conduct yourself. And by that policy, you can literally lead people to God. It's a royal priesthood, royalty. I have a dominion, and in my dominion, if you come into my dominion, guess what? You're going to meet the Holy Ghost because I'm going to release him upon you. And listen, and you can't stay the same around me. And so as you come into that, I have the ability now to take people to God. Well, then a holy priest is just the opposite. A holy priest, because of his duties, Lance, we spend time with God. And really out of not just duty, but really out of relationship, we spend time with God. And as a holy priest, my responsibility is to bring God to people.
That's right.
It's just the vice versa is all it is. And so you are priest.
That's right.
Can I get you to say I'm a priest?
I'm a priest.
According to scripture, Revelations 1 and 6 tells you the same thing, that we are a royal and a holy priesthood. So if the criteria for a priest is to meet with God and to speak to people, how much more your criteria? If you are a priest, and listen, I know you haven't been ordained and set apart and hands laid upon you and licensed and, you know, seminary school and all that, no, but still, you are a priest in God's eyes. He's not going to let you say, Lance didn't tell me what you said, God, so I didn't do what you said. No, he's going to say, why didn't you come to me? Remember in the Old Testament, it took the priest to go into the Holy of Holies. See, not anybody could just walk in there, even though you were born in the tribe of Levi. You were a Levite, you know, but if you were not the high priest, you could not go in to meet with God. It was only the priest who could go beyond the veil. But now the veil has been rent. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore. Now you and I, we can go in and meet with God for ourselves. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Just wave at me back in the corner if you hear what I'm saying. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got him in the corner waving. And so, really, when we talk about having a passion for what God says or having a passion for what God wants, we're talking about having a passion for what God is saying. And in order to have a passion for what he's saying, you got to have a passion for God himself. You and I must want to meet with God. Don't go there, but in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, there was an occasion where the people all declared that we wanted to hear God. You know, Moses, we're ready to meet with God. And Moses went up on the mountain and said, God, guess what? The people want to meet with you. He was like, what, me? He said, okay, I tell you what, have them wash their clothes and get their stuff together. Tell them, don't touch the mountain, though, but I'm going to come down and talk to them. And as soon as God descended, the people, the Bible says, drew near. But then when God began to speak, Stacy, thunderings and lightnings and roarings and all that. And there's one movie, I don't know if it's Cecil B. DeMille's depiction of the Ten Commandments or not, but there's one where Moses is standing on the mountain. He's like, he's just like in bliss, you know, as God is talking and there's lightning and thundering and everybody else is shrinking back, right? Because they're figuring out, no, wait a minute, I thought I wanted God to talk to me, you know. And so they eventually say, no, Moses, you talk to God for us. But that was never really God's plan. God never intended for it to be that way. And so when we are in a position, Eddie, where literally we refuse to come or we shrink back from God from coming, then I promise you, you're on the way to your passion diminishing. You'll be the one like me. I spent 10 years in church and get after 10 years and realize, is there more? I mean, is there more to it? Or is this it? You know, I just come and I sit, you know, I serve. And I realized that what was missing was him.
Yeah.
I know I spent 10 years, I was in church, but what was missing was him.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking to me. What happened to my first love? And so I'm here to remind you this morning that as you have your passion for him, as you stay passionate about hearing his voice, then it's in that time, it's in those moments that I promise you that you feel rejuvenated, you feel refreshed. When you come to Bridgeway, you know, let's just be honest. In church, sometimes people get on our nerves. Can we be honest? I mean, you know, don't hate you or nothing, but you get on my nerves sometimes. That's all, you know. And if you're not careful, that would be your driving factor. That is what you decide whether or not you'll come to this group or come to this meeting or be faithful over this, you know, team that you're with, is if someone's there who gets on your nerves, you know. And then it's not really predicated about God, and God always gets left out. And so you have to watch that. You have to watch your passion and make sure that it does not diminish. And again, the passion is all about relationship. Over in Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 42nd verse, this is really where Jesus Christ began to cry out to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane when He knew that the hour was upon him. And as he began, the Bible says he prayed earnestly in the 44th chapter that the cup would pass. When we talk about having a passion for what God wants, and really this is the question, do you have a passion? Are you passionate about what God wants, or is this really predicated about what you want? You can run real fast and hard and stay on the team as long as they're going the way you want them to go. But soon as the sales shifts, or maybe leadership shifts, maybe there's a new leader now, all of a sudden you're not sure about your commitment. No, this is not how we are to ride with the Father. We ride, listen, according to the word of the Lord, and not according to circumstances, not according to, you know, how deep the water is, not according to, you know, somebody hurt my feelings. No, it's not about that. You ride because God said ride. You stay and you stick because God said to stick. And you endure chastisement. Amen. You do. You hang, you know. And it's in this process, I believe, that you'll find, again, a strengthening of your passion. And so with Jesus, the reason why I brought him up is because that whole scene is considered the Passion Week, you know. That whole scene is the Passion Week. That's where literally the movie The Passion started, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? You know, and it was just praying earnestly that really for the first time what we saw, a separation of what he would have wanted from his Father. We've never seen it anywhere in Scripture. Before then, it was always Jesus says, listen, I say what I hear the Father saying. I speak what I heard the Father say. Listen, I only do what I see God doing. And so, but here he said, God, you know, and he wasn't shrinking back because he was afraid to die. You know, his shrinking back was he didn't want to become the thing that really he knew would displease the Father. He would take on the sin. And so with sin, God has to turn away. And he didn't want to become that. And so he was really asking, God, is there like another way we can do this? Is there like any other way that we can do this besides me becoming this, you know? And then, of course, he caught himself and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so in essence, the Father was saying, no, this is what would please me. And it perplexed him, Tina, because he wanted to please God. He had a passion for what God wanted, no doubt, but he just didn't really know that it had to be like this. And so it was perplexing that he would have to take on the sin of the world and die. And I just want to say here that when you really have a passion for what God wants, you lay down your life. See, somebody said Jesus died on the cross. No, he died in Gethsemane. He died there. It was there that the Bible says he sweated so profusely, much like me now, but he sweated so profusely that his sweat fell, as it were, great drops of blood. Well, if you look at what blood is what life is. And in essence, he really gave up his life. It was the life that was sweated out of him. And finally, he rose. And you saw the movie, that the part that I love, when Satan was tempting him. Can't nobody do this. Nobody can. You know, it's too heavy for you. And then he stood up and he crushed the snake's head. You know, that was cool, wasn't it? I mean, just smashed him to that. The point is, when you get this resolution, when you get here, when your life is out of you, when you've been emptied and you've laid it down, this is how resolute you'll be. And I promise you, there's no completing the mission of God without this type of dying, without this type of decrease. We sang it today, you know, I'll bow down low, you know, so that he can be adored. There's no type of, listen, him coming to you as long as you're standing on your throne, as long as you, you know, as long as you proclaim yourself king, then the king really can't come. No, it's when you die, it's when you step back. And many a times you have to step back under leadership. You know, sometimes we have these good ideas, and I found out, Lance, there in Germany, that there's a lot of real good ideas out there in the body of Christ. And if you don't and if you don't go with their good idea, you know, they'll threaten to leave. You know, they'll you know, think that, you know, that they can't be used. And it's not that. It's not enough for you to have a good idea. I mean, we all have those. It's a God idea. What is God saying? And we had to challenge a sister. It was several years ago, and this was even before I started pastoring, Lance. It was a sister who profusely proclaimed that God had said that this gentleman who had come in was the next worship leader. Now, he could play. Wonderful. I mean, he could play. She said, it's time. It's God. We have to. And I had just gotten broken now, right? And so I was trying to be a little more gentle than I had been in the past. And so I said, well, how do you know? She said, you know, well, God told me. Well, what we do now, when someone says God said, that brings up instant radar, because if you said God said, then you ought to have some facts ready to deliver. And so we say, well, if he said it, what did he say exactly? And she said, yeah, he said it's him. It's time. You know, he's the one. He's the next one. He's going to take us into our next future. Okay. Then my next question was, okay, if he said that, then what did his voice sound like? Was it an audible dream? And I'm not, you know, trying to be facetious with it. I was just saying, talk to me. You said he said it. What did his voice sound like? What happened? I mean, you know, was it thunder? Was it lightning? Was it a dream? You know, what was it? She said, well, his voice kind of sounded like my voice. And I said, okay. I said, well, if it sounded like you, maybe it was you. And she got a little upset with me. And I said, well, let's just wait, you know, because if it's God, it surely will come to pass. And so we waited. And do you know, not more than 2 weeks later, this young man was diagnosed with testicular cancer. 90 days later, passed away, left the earth. But she was so adamant that this is what God wants. This is him. I know it's him. And you're holding me back. You know, you're not letting me do what I think God is doing with me on this team. And this young man passed away. Testicular cancer the whole time. You know, and of course she was broken because she had been proclaiming profusely and upset with me because we did not move in that direction. What am I saying? Just because you're passionate about what you want, it doesn't necessarily make it what God wants. Not necessarily. It does not make it what's on his mind. What he needs. And this is really all that he's going to bless. He's blessing what he's doing, not what you're doing. He's blessing what he's doing. He's blessing what's in his plan and in his scope. And you can beat against that door and you can pound and kick and everything else and break out your matrix moves and all that. If it's not God, that door is not coming down. You can beat all day. You can pray all day. You can stay all day. It does not matter. If God is not in it, guess what? If he does not open the door won't get open. And then many of us have gotten brave lands. We go around the door. We go, you know, in. And so why? Because we're passionate about it. No, you're missing the mark is what you're doing. The thing to be passionate about is passionate about him. See, you get him, then you get everything else. You know, you get him, he'll open the doors for you if you'll let him. If you'll wait for him to do it, he'll do it. And so whoever this assignment is today, wherever you are, you have been asking God to do it. You've been looking for God to do it. You've been wanting him to do it. And you've been passionate, all right, but not about him. God says, what about me? Where's your pursuit of me? You've been making your case, been laying out your pros and your cons and all your facts about how it should be and how it needs to be and how that I really want it. And really, you're showing your childishness in the kingdom. You're showing an immaturity. When you know, because it's children that rant and rave until they get what they want. It's children that plead and beg and mom and come on and all this other stuff we do. And then we carry it over to God's world. We carry it over to the kingdom. And God is not, listen, he's not pleased with that type of behavior. It's really no sign of development or growth. There's no growth there. All you have to do is ask and let him answer. What do I do until he answers? I mean, what if the deadline passes? Pastor said, then what are we going to do? Let it pass. What? Let it pass? No, because no. If he doesn't answer you, what are you going to do? Go ahead of him? Are you going to just run ahead of him because it's time? And then we get to the end of these decisions, and that's when we find, Eddie, that's when we find, you know, where it didn't turn out like we thought it was going to turn out. And then we make God look bad. Yeah, you know, he really wasn't doing that and all that. Yeah, well, it's too late. You've already spent my money you asked me for. Okay, I'm sorry I got a little personal there, but I'm just saying. If it's God, let it be God. If it's him, let it be him. And so to kind of highlight what I'm saying, and it's very simple. It's a very simple message. Are you passionate about what he's passionate about? Do you find yourself looking for God or looking for ways to do what you want to do for God? You know, are you finding yourself in a planning phase and you have not entered into a praying phase yet? You started planning, you started preparing, but you have not prayed. And prayer, let me just put this in. Prayer is not some monologue, what you say to God. No, it's a dialogue. It's not just what you say. What did God say to you? Remember relationship. What did he say to you? And if he hasn't spoken, then you shouldn't be speaking. And if he hasn't given it to you, then what are you giving me that for? It's not time for that deal. It's not time for that yet. If he hasn't said it, we wait for him. But the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Wow, they saw the fruit. They saw, he would pray and, God would answer. God would move. He would come down and show up instantly. So they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus is saying the same thing that I'm saying here. He didn't begin with some distant term, but he began with a term of endearment. Significant of relationship, our Father. Before then, it was just Jehovah, whoever, Jireh, Jehovah, Nisi, whatever it was God did, that's how they knew God. Jesus introduced the concept of relationship. He introduced the concept of touching God and God touching us. And that's really, really the beginning of all prayer, the relationship. And too many of us, somebody in here, because I'm on an assignment this morning, somebody in here, you're coming with what you say and really not what God is saying. And you have to be honest about that. Your ideas, your approach. I'm not talking about just for Bridgeway. I'm talking about even in your own lives. You know, I remember when I first got married to Tina, and we've been married now over 18 years. And when I first got married, trying to convince her that this is how the money should be spent. Anybody had that struggle? Okay. And I would break out the PowerPoint plans and everything like that. Notice exhibit here, if we save, I don't know why I thought about that, but I did. And I guess more along the lines of just saying, it's not about proving what you say is good. I mean, it may very well be a great idea. It may be very well great, but it's not just that. It's one is God saying it, and then also the timing that comes with that. Is it time? And if we wait it out, all things are uncovered. All things are revealed. We just wait for God. And so he says, our Father who art in heaven. And then he went from the relationship to worship. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, holy, holy is your name. Too many are trying to get to the thing God is doing, and we're not even worshiping God. We won't even take time to worship him. You know when somebody in here worships? When you come to Bridgeway. What is that, once a week? Once a week you really bend your knee? What about every day? I'm talking, now listen, if you're saying God is walking with you and you're walking in the Spirit, and what really brought me to a revelation about this was, people would say, oh, just an anointing of God on you, Reggie, anointed. And then Tina and I would go to the mall and people would walk by, excuse me, it's like they didn't even see us there. What happened to the anointing? Where did it go? How come it can only be seen in church? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what happened to it? If it's him, where's it at? Where's he at? How come only here? And so we changed our worship to daily now. We come before him daily. We seek him daily. Same time, 1 Kings 18, where Elijah did battle with the 450 prophets of Baal. And listen, I love this because this is just talking about the passion. What really got this, they said, well, how do we know who's God? And Elijah said, well, let the God who answers, let him be the true God, And so they didn't really want to hear that because why? They had used to just been making their little incantations and all this stuff and walking away. Kind of like the Muslim religion where they say we bow 5 times a day. And they really put Christians to shame because we seldom do that. But what are you bowing to is my question. And not only is it that you're going, is somebody coming to you? That's what I want to know. Is God talking back to you? Because it's not how much you go. No, who's coming to you? Is he coming to you? And so in your pursuit, and we talk about your passion, we're talking about literally coming after God to the degree that he comes, that he responds. Are you passionate about what God is passionate about? If you're not in relationship with him, I would argue with you that you are. If you're not meeting with him on a regular basis, I would argue if you are in relationship with God. If you're not coming on the regular, if God isn't pleased to speak with you, I don't care how he speaks. He can speak any way he wants to speak. Dreams, visions, it doesn't matter. Audible voice, inner voice, however he speaks. The point is, if he's not talking to you, if you're not hearing, then you need to tune into a radio station we call KYMS. Keep your mouth shut. It just retards things. It retards everything. I mean, now, you know, situations are retarded because you say God said and he never did. And then you pursue that, and again, you invest your money in that, and you go that way, and you get there, and God's not there. And then you make your way back, and you try to start over on this path. No, just be passionate about God. Let him be enough, you know. Let him be, it's a song that they were singing in there. Let him be enough. Let him draw me close to you, as I think is what it was. Lay it all down again. Make up your mind that you're going to lay it all down again and start over. Make up your mind that, you know what, I'm here now, I'm standing by the grace of God. I have to admit, I've missed God probably more often than I found God, but I really don't want to miss him again. And I'm telling you, you don't have to. You don't have to miss. Yes, it's going to take a little bit longer, but I promise you, when you're coming to God and you're asking him, to him, and really for you, but you don't know it yet, but to him, that's the best part about it. See, he can answer your prayer today. He can give you the desire, the thing that you asked for today. But what will he have? He would have lost out on the pursuit. He would have lost out on the thirst. He would have lost out on the hunger and the tears and the crying. He would have lost out on the brokenness of your heart. He would have, listen, and not only would he have missed all of that in terms of fine-tuning your affection, but you would have missed it all too. And who of us, any of us with children, as soon as they ask, we say, okay, no problem. No questions. No screening. I mean, a child will want what they want whenever they want it. You know that. So if we can do that as parents, how much more would he do it for us? And really, he's just after the relationship. And so you'll ask and you'll say, oh, I really feel like God is going to answer today. And then he'll take a step back. And you'll come in and say, no, he didn't answer today. But the key is, and somebody said it today, thank the worship leader, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get faint. You know, help us not to give up, God. Help us not to quit, because you ask, he steps back, and what he's doing is he's developing the relationship. And pretty soon you're over here, and pretty soon it's not even about him answering. Not for him. Pretty soon it's just about the relationship. It's about, I know you, and you know me, and you know my ways, and I know your ways. Are you hearing this? And so, Joel, if you'll come back, man, I just really here today. You're here. You've been coming. You haven't missed a service. You haven't missed a meeting. You know, you've been pursuing. But somehow, you're not hearing. You're not hearing. Or perhaps you hear, and you're one of those, like I said, you're real anointed in church. You're real anointed when you get around other Bridgeway people in this community. But on your own, in your home, with your wife, with your husband, with your own children, where's the anointing? Where's the presence of the Lord? Where's the leading of God? Where's his direction? Where's his unctioning? You look real good. Somebody would look on the outside and say, yeah, he's a believer, born-again believer. But then on your job, you know, I mean, things aren't consistently falling into pleasant places. And the way they consistently fall is that you have to stay in a consistent pursuit. The way God consistently, I mean, it's like a saturation. It's like residue, you know. I mean, you just keep coming. Whether he answers or not, whether he responds to you today or not, you just keep coming. Don't stop coming in. Don't stop. Don't give up because he didn't answer today. He's not Santa Claus. You know, he's not your sugar daddy. You know, he's not going to give you a fix and then that'll be it. No, you keep coming. He's trying to get you hooked is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you hooked on him. He loves you. He loves me. And so this morning, it's you. I think the ministry team, there's a ministry team that Bridgeway has. If you're ministering today, if I can, Lance, will you all just come for a second? Because I believe here today that in this mist here are those who you're wondering where your passion went. Your passion has been misdirected. You've missed it just a little bit. You see now, even from the sound of my voice, that you haven't been pursuing him. You've been pursuing, but it hasn't been him. And of course, the proof is that there's no communication, you know. James says sometimes we ask and we do not receive because we ask amiss, or we ask not in accordance with, if you will. But if that's you today, if hearing is the most important part for you, if hearing from him, if you're not hearing and you want to hear, then we invite you to come. That's what we do. Simple invitation. No priming or pulling. You know who you are. I think I'll tell you this bird story and then I'll sit down. It's a story of a owner who bought a talking bird, Stacy. This bird could talk. I mean, didn't miss one pronunciation of speech. Had everything that spoke perfect English. And he bought this novelty. Couldn't believe he got a good deal at a garage sale, you know, $73 or something. Took the bird back to his store. Put the bird out on a perch. And the bird was trained to greet customers as they walked by. Good morning. And customers were so amazed because they would say good morning. And then he'd move on to the next question. How are you? You know, and they said, well, I'm doing fine. How are you? And then he would say, listen, I'm doing fine. And so they would go in and tell the owner, this bird, this is amazing. And then while they were there, they'd buy a little something while they were there. And this went on for weeks. And all of a sudden, there's a guy that walks by. And apparently, he was not that very attractive. And in fact, he was downright ugly. Let's call it what it was. And as he walked by, the bird looked. And the bird said, you've got to be the ugliest man I've seen in all my life. And the man looked up, kind of like you did, like, my goodness, no, you didn't. And he said, what did you say? He said, I said, you've got to be the ugliest man I've seen in all my life. And that man goes into the store and says, your bird just insulted me. I will not be accosted on this street. Listen, you must do something about the bird. The man came out, gets the bird, lands, take him to the back room. Said, Mr. Bird, what's going on? He said, listen, I can't help it. He's ugly, you know. But he said, no. Your job is to bring customers in. Now listen, don't do that again. No problem. Bird goes out. You know what happened. A few weeks later, here comes the same man. The bird is greeting. Good morning. Good morning. He looks at him and he says, you've got to be the ugliest man I've seen in all my life. Man went right into the store again, told the owner. The owner brought the bird. He said, listen, bird, I'm not going to put up with you. You're here to draw customers in. If you speak negative again about something, if you do this again, I'm going to have to stuff you. The bird straightened up, saluted with its wing, you know, put him back out on the perch. As the bird is sitting there, you know what happens. Here comes the man again. This time the man is trying to antagonize him, slowing down, waiting to see if he's going to say it. The bird tries real hard. He turns this way. Good morning. How are you? The man comes around this side. The bird looks away, says, good morning. How are you? And the man kind of gives him that's what I thought look. And as he begins to walk off, he said, hey, mister. He said, what? He looked at him. He said, you know, don't you? You didn't get that, did you? 747. The point is simply this. If you're passionate about God, you know, don't you? You know if you're not. You know if you are. You know if you've been in pursuit. You know if he's the one you think about when you wake up mornings, when you lay down. You know that in all that you say you're doing for God, if it's about him, if it's really about him being magnified, you know if that's you. And likewise, you know if it's not. With that, I say, whomsoever will, just for ministry time now, Joel, if we can. And really, that draw me close to you. I like that because it says, if I lay it all down again, and I would lay it all down again just to hear you say that I'm your friend, just to hear you say that we have relationship. Everything I said that you said, everything I thought you were doing, and I realized it wasn't, I would lay all that down just to be back to hear you say that I'm your friend again. Again, no priming, no pulling, won't be any pushing here. You know where you are. And it's very simple. You come and you make a testimony to God that I'm coming. I'm coming back to the relationship to mend it, to put it back where it belongs.